felt pressure in the last moment.
Sorry, guys. I'm no Peggy.
You did just fine. I love it. I love it. Oh, my goodness. It's been cool to watch you grow in playing the piano over this past year. That has been pretty cool to see. And just to watch you grow as a servant and a leader, it's been really awesome. Yeah, it's been so cool. Usually I'm ready for a blustery fall, but man, this has been a blustery spring, end of winter, spring. This has been absolutely nuts. I was getting gas, not this past week, but the week before. I was trying to use my loyalty rewards number at the pump, and I knew when I got out and was trying to put gas in my car, I did not have my jacket on. It was the day that it was super windy outside and it was cold, and it just like cut right through you. And so I get out of my Jeep and I'm standing at the pump and I'm putting my rewards number in at the pump. I want that 5 cents off. And I put it in and it says it rejected it. And I thought, you gotta be kidding me. What? So I'm stubborn, so I put the thing in again. Rejected. I'm like, I know this is the right number. Are you kidding me? Come on, man. And I'm putting it in there, and I'm dying because I hate being cold. My wife could tell you this. I do not like being cold. Not that I'm a wimp. How do you dig out of that one? I don't know, but I could give you, it's actually a medical reason why, whatever. I'm not going to win that. It's enough of my problems this morning. That's what I get for starting with a bad dad joke at the Progressive Dinner last night. It just carried forward to today. I tell you what, have you ever been late for work and you're running late for work and traffic backs up and you just kind of get, and there's nothing you can do about it except just get frustrated sitting in your car. You're on the phone with customer service, isn't that fun? And you're waiting. Or perhaps you're not feeling well, so you go to the doctor. The doctor gives you medicine. You're kind of excited because you're anticipating this is going to make you feel better. And you're waiting, and you're taking the medicine, and it is not working fast enough. And you're not getting healthy quickly. Or you're waiting on your tax refund. 'Tis that time of year, right? And it can't get here fast enough because you need that money. So you're waiting on it. You know, come on, government. Or Pastor Andy just won't stop talking, and you're hungry, so you're just like, spit it out so I can go home. Practicing patience is typically not a fun thing to do. I knew that this topic today was going to relate, I assume, to all of us. And if anything else, I'll just preach from my own perspective and experiences, right? And I like this image. I thought, well, let's have fun with a somewhat serious, kind of tough topic, you know, patience. How we can go from smiling to, oh, to so quickly, sometimes just like that, it may feel like, right? Yeah. Can Jesus relate to the exhaustion of waiting? Sometimes waiting can just be exhausting. Can Jesus relate to the frustration at times of waiting? And can he relate to the loneliness? Because sometimes waiting feels rather lonely, especially if you're the only one feels like that has to wait on something you want. Or sometimes emotionally it can feel really heavy just waiting and waiting. Can Jesus relate to the emotional heaviness of waiting? What do you think? Yeah, I love it. She's like, well, yes, he can. It's great. Even the youth are like, yes, he can. Because it's a good thing, because that's what I plan on talking about this morning. Otherwise, I'm going to have to ask Ben to come up and just pinch hit for something today. It's a good thing to have a pastor in the house. He retired, but yeah, well, it's all right. Yes, he can. Jesus, I tell you, one of the ways Jesus can relate, and if you're taking notes, these would be some areas you want to just take note of, and I'm sure you'll remember it anyways, because you guys are smart cookies, is Jesus can relate to the patience in frustration. Sometimes expectations go unmet. You're really wanting something to happen, and then it just doesn't. And you start, and you're like, you're waiting, and that kind of can get frustrating. You say, well, can Jesus relate? And actually, he can. So I want to take you to a parable that Jesus teaches, but there are other places that we can look at as well. But he gave this particular parable. It's in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 13. If you have your Bible and you are on your phone, or if you got the book you want to open up, feel free to do that. I want to read that parable today. It's in Luke 13, verse 6 through 9. I figured you probably got that. Verse 6 through 9. Luke chapter 13, verse 6 through 9. If you're there, say, I'm there. All right, fantastic. Well, happy to be there. All right. Here's the parable. Luke 13, beginning at verse 6, and let's go through verse 9. It says, then he told this parable. It says, a man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he went to look for fruit on it, but did not find any. So he said to the man who took care of the vineyard, for 3 years now, I've been coming to look for fruit on this fig tree and haven't found any. Cut it down. Why should it use up the soil? Sir, the man replied, leave it alone for one more year, and I'll dig around it and fertilize it. If it bears fruit next year, fine. If not, then cut it down. So you got a farmer who has a fig tree in his vineyard. He really wants that tree to bear some fruit because he would like to, number one, either use it to feed his family. Number two, he'd like to sell it and make money. That's the business that he's in. And so for 3 years, he imagines, like, he's waiting. I planted this thing. Yes, this looks good. Nothing. Next year, nothing. Are you kidding me? Year three, seriously, this is a bit ridiculous. Nothing. Well, fine. I've had enough of this. Cut the thing down. Let's get rid of it. Burn it, right? There's some use out of this tree because this tree's doing nothing good for me, for my business, or for my family. And the man that works with him says, well, can you hold on for a moment? Let me put some poop on it. And I knew that would get a laugh. Let me put some fertilizer on it. And let's see. Now you got to refocus, don't you? Great. And the kids, pastor said poop. Can you believe that? He says, well, let me kind of see if I could do the best I can to cultivate the ground around it to help give the tree is a good chance, an opportunity to bear the fruit that it was created to do. See if I can help it. And if it doesn't work, then you deal with it as you see fit. But can I have a chance? Can you allow me to work on your behalf? Listen, can you allow me to work on your behalf to help this tree bear the fruit that it's supposed to bear? And if it doesn't, then you can cut it down. But I want to help. And the farmer, the owner, says, all right, let's see what happens. Go for it. That parable is about Israel. Israel is the fig tree in that parable, and they're supposed to be bearing the fruit of being in a covenant with God. There was a way of life that was supposed to be lived by God's people. And when they lived that kind of life, then the nations around them would learn about the character of their God and see how he's way different than every other false god that's worshipped, that the true God is uniquely one type of God. This is his character. This is how he loves. This is how he does what he does. And you're going to teach people that by the way that you treat each other and the way that you live. But Israel had, I mean, if you know some of the story, they had been content to worship false gods. They weren't loving people well. They were taking advantage of people. They weren't being godly people the way that God really had set them apart to be. And so instead of cutting them down, he sends Jesus to them to cultivate their faith and spur them on to live a fruitful life, the good life, the life they were supposed to live. And so Jesus, I mean, if you know some of the stories of the Gospels, Jesus goes around and he's preaching and he's teaching and he's performing what? Miracles, right? I mean, it's truly a tremendous time. in the nation of Israel and in the world. And even with all of that, like, they still wouldn't get, not everybody, they wouldn't get on board. They wouldn't just truly accept him and embrace him for who he was. And if you, again, if you've read some of the Gospels, he would be teaching, and then you remember some of the times that he would say, "Oh, you have little faith," right? Because he's like, "I'm doing this again and again, and you just won't listen." And or he might say, "I'm only going to be here with you a short while longer." Because why? You don't have forever. You only have so long. I'm going to be with you, right? And I need you to get it. I need you to embrace. I need you to trust and follow. I'm telling you, Jesus understood being patient, and he understood the frustration that can come when your expectations are not getting met by the people around you that you really want to get it. You say, does Jesus know what it's like to be frustrated? I would say yes, he does. Let's try this one on for size. Have you ever tried to explain something to someone and they're just not getting it? I didn't know I would get an amen on that one, but that is really good, right? And so the parents, maybe you're going, preach it. Teachers, come on now. Pastors with some rebellious sheep, not y'all, because y'all are golden. Be going, seriously? And no matter how hard you try, you just can't seem to win them over. You know, what is it going to take? Goodness. Does Jesus know what it's like to have to be, to choose to be patient when you're being misunderstood and even rejected? I'm going to say yes, he does. I want to take you, it's not Palm Sunday yet, but let's pretend that it is for a moment, right? And we'll go there. Do you remember what happens on Palm Sunday? Jesus, right? He comes into Jerusalem riding on a donkey. I wasn't going to say the other word, but he comes riding on the donkey, and he's showing himself to be the who? The Messiah. They believe this is the one who's going to deliver us. We're so excited, and they're just cheering and yelling, right? And they're telling, "So you got to tell these people to shut up." And I'm sorry, to be quiet. And he's like, "Dude, the rocks would even cry out, man. Like, you're not going to stop what is happening here." And yet Jesus goes through all of that, and he goes up to where he can look out over the city. And Luke chapter 19, verse 41 says that Jesus wept over the city. You're like, "I don't get it." Like, they're excited. They're pumped. Well, they see what they want to see. They see a political redeemer. He sees himself as the true spiritual Messiah who would save them from sin and death. He would deliver them into the kingdom that is. And they aren't getting it. And he's taught them, and he's given everything to help them get it, and they just are not wrapping their brains around it. And then in Luke chapter 23, Jesus is with Pontius Pilate, and he's been beat. He has been questioned, and he puts him out in front of everybody because he doesn't find anything wrong with him, and he wants to, like, "You people, you pick. You either pick, I'm going to release one. Do you want Jesus, who I don't really see anything wrong with, or do you want Barabbas?" And by the way, he's a convicted criminal. And do you remember what the people shout? "Away with this man, away with this man, release Barabbas to us." Jesus knows what it's like to be misunderstood and to be rejected by the people that you've come to do such good for. He gets us. What about when you hurt, though? What about when you hurt? Does he know what it's like to have to feel patience when in pain and feeling loneliness? Does he get that? Yeah. Let's go to Good Friday. Again, I know we're not there yet. Spoiler alert. So you go to Good Friday, and Jesus is hanging on the cross. He's been crucified. I can't imagine the pain of that, just excruciating pain. And he's hanging on the cross, and he's bleeding, and And there in Matthew 27, verse 46, we're told that he says the words to his father, my God, why have you forsaken me? That's a wild question. That's a weird one. That's a hard one to wrap your brain around, really. Right? And I've always kind of wrestled with, how do you take that? Like, how do you process that? Like, what is he actually saying right there? And in seminary, it was, you know, that seminary, you pay a lot of money to go ask really deep questions. I don't know, right? There's something weird about that. And so I remember I'm sitting in a class and we're asking these types of questions. You know, it's like, Jesus was forsaken, but can God truly forsake himself? You know, like, mind blown, what? And I'm just trying to process and think through stuff like that. I'm not sure why you pay a lot of money for that, but anyways, you just do what you do, I guess. When I listen to Jesus in those words, say, my God, why have you forsaken me? It sounds like Jesus was not doubting God's presence, but feeling abandonment by his father as he felt the full weight of sin's judgment upon himself. I mean, not only physically, but emotionally, spiritually, the heaviness of what he's taken upon himself. On Friday, Jesus is suffering. But on Friday, he knows Sundays are coming. He does. He'd already prophesied it, right? That the Son of Man will be handed over and be crucified, but on the third day, he will what? He will rise again. He knows exactly what is coming. And he knows the pain of being on the cross. But he doesn't get to skip Friday just to smile on Sunday. He has to go through the Friday and get to Sunday. The Friday's there, and the Sundays are coming. And it, to me, seems like Jesus might know a little bit about being patient when you're in pain and you may feel loneliness. Please never think that Jesus shied away from long suffering. That he ever thought that he was too good for that. That he was above it. Mm-mm. Never for a moment. He knew the frustrations from waiting for people to do right. And he knew the emotional roller coaster ride that can come with having to wait sometimes. And he knew the temptations to do wrong that can come in the waiting. And he knew the weariness you can feel while you wait. I'm telling you, Jesus has been there, done that, and bought the t-shirt. Do you know today that Jesus chose to walk a mile in your shoes? That's love. When you'll choose to walk a mile in somebody's shoes, not because you have to, but because you choose to relate to them right there where they are. That's love. Jesus loves you and he gets you. He understands. How great is our God? Sing with me, how great is our God? And all the worth seeing, how great is our God. How is it that Jesus can be so perfectly patient? How can he do that? All right, you ready for theology? I know you are. You've been waiting all morning. You can't stand it. You've been itching and just shaking in your seats. Ugh, I love it. How can he do that? How can he do something so perfectly well that I can maybe not always do so well? Well, because it's in his character. It's part of who he is. The Apostle Paul identified patience as part of the fruit of the Spirit. And what Paul is teaching us is that that's part of the character of God. And so when we see the life of Jesus, we see the character of God revealed before us. And what we find is that Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 to 23 is a picture of that character that we saw lived out. It helps us to understand who God is. So if somebody say, somebody ever asked you, say, well, can you tell me something about God? Like, you go, hold on, where do I even start? This could be a good place. Tell them about God's character. Tell them about the character of Jesus Christ. What does his character have to do with you? Well, let's take a step closer for just a second. Walk with me on this. When the Holy Spirit comes into your life, the Holy Spirit begins working to reform your, reform your character. You say, well, I like who I am, but God wants to do something even more in you. And the Holy Spirit brings God's patience into your life so that you're becoming more like Christ. He doesn't take necessarily the patience that you have and says, well, let's just tweak a little bit. He goes, no, because your sense of patience will never equal God's patience. So I want to endow upon you the patience that I have so that you can reflect my character in the world. And as I am patient, that you can be patient in the world. As I'm long-suffering, that you can be long-suffering. Because when you are patient, the people that watch you be patient get to see that there's something in you that's not like the rest of the world, that you have the patience of Christ within you. How can you be patient in that situation? If I was in your shoes, I'd have done slapped them three ways to Sunday, walked over and backed the car up and run over them twice. How are you doing this? God is helping me to be patient. He's helping me. He's giving me something that I don't possess so that I can do something that I can't naturally do in myself. Something that requires him. And that's why you're seeing me able to do something that I can't normally do. It's because of God in me. So you're seeing the character of God coming out of me because the Spirit of God is at work within me. And it's God who uses that testimony in our lives. We would call that a witness, right, to the working presence of God in our lives, to draw people to God. God uses his working presence in you and your character being reformed by him to help people see him, be attracted to him, to be drawn to him, to want to be more like him and to have his presence in their life. They could, right? So you say, does my life really matter? Does that phone call with that customer service rep really matter? Does that time at dinner when my order didn't come out the way I asked them and I repeat it three times and they still didn't get it? The way I respond when I'm about to lose it, do those things really matter? Because, you know, come on. Yeah, they do. Because God's intent is that your character, which will show who you are, will show people Jesus in you. God says, I know that you could be impatient and lash out. And I know you're frustrated. Can I invite you to an alternative response? Can you allow me to help you? Because I will help you. And when you're tempted, I'll help you have a way to stand up under that with a strength that's not yours, that's mine. I'll help you. He says, I'll help you because I get what it's like to have to be patient when that's the last thing you feel like you want to do. But when you do that one thing, you will say more about your God than you realize. I hear you. That is too hard. Okay, I hear you too. But let us remember that it's not about us. But it is about us being more like Jesus. Let's do a little exercise because you might be falling asleep. So here we go. All right, you can raise your hand if you want on this or not. Don't be a party pooper. Here it is. Would you be willing to pray the prayer, Father, help me be more like Jesus? Does that sound like a good prayer? Most people would, and even if you're like, I'm not sure, you'll feel guilty and you'll have to raise your hand anyways because everybody else is doing it. But Father, help me be more like Jesus. Well, that sounds like a good prayer. Okay, fantastic. All right, so prayer number two. This is going to be fun. Would you be willing to pray the prayer, Father, give me patience? Got a few of you. So why, those of you may not know, right? But it's my common sense. So why would you, like, some people swear off the second question, you know? It's like, no, I do never, ever pray that. Why? Because, like, you are not going to like what you get with that prayer. And I totally get that. Absolutely. And the challenge that I offer to us is that when we think like that, and I've been there, done that, right? So when we think that way, what we can tend to do is we put the idea of patience with something that is super drastic and forget that patience is something we need every day. It doesn't take something crazy in order to grow in patience. Like, we need it every day, and we use it every day. And I'm finding that as I'm getting a little bit older, not too old yet, but my body doesn't do it just doesn't do everything I would really like for it to do as quickly, and you just have to be patient. You know, when someone doesn't meet your expectations at work. Or at home, or at school. Let's get real, right, with it. Here's a fun one, slow customer service. Patience is an everyday fruit that even Jesus used. And you can be concerned that if I pray for it, God's going to bring something heavy on my life, and who wants to, you know, I'm not a glutton for punishment. But I can assure you that whether you pray for it or not, bad things are going to happen in your life. We live in a broken world. Bad things happen to good people. Good things happen to bad people. And you're not going to control that. You have to navigate through it. And one of truly, I think, the best things you can do is say, Father, help me to be more like Jesus so I can navigate this broken world like Jesus navigated it and will help me today. And if that means that I need to grow to be a little more patient, then so be it, Lord. Because I would rather be more like Jesus than self-justified in my own errant thinking about patience. What profit a man to gain the whole world, yet forfeit his soul? Right? Just the simple concept, not that you're losing your salvation, but that sense that what have you really gained if you haven't become more like Jesus? That's what matters the most. And that's what God wants for us. And that's what the Holy Spirit comes into our life to make possible, that we may become more and more like Jesus through the brokenness. Jesus was tempted, tested, he was tried, he was tortured, and yet he didn't throw in the towel, not once. He didn't hurt people in anger. Did you hear that? Jesus did not hurt people in anger. Oh, but but you just don't know what they did. Well, I think he does. They drove nails in his hands and his feet, put a crown of thorns on his head, stabbed him in the side, laughed at him, spit on him. I think Jesus knows what it's like to be hurt more than we know. He gets it. That's to be a reminder of it every single time we worship. He trusted in the Father. He waited on the Father's timing. He's in the garden praying, Father, if this can just be taken from me, oh my goodness, would you just take this pain from me? But not my will, but your will be done. Can we just get to Sunday? Nope. We got to go through Friday. Sunday's a-coming. One day at a time. You see, even through each day, the victory was already won. It was already his. It was there. And he knew his Father would never forsake him. He knew the Holy Spirit was always with him. He was never by himself. You are never by yourself. I feel so alone. You are never by yourself. It's a lie that you tell yourself, I'm all alone. Nobody gets me. Nobody. God has walked away. No. God is with you. And he gets you. Jesus promised, I will be with you always to the end of the age. I'm not going anywhere, folks. Just because you feel I have doesn't mean that that's the truth. Don't always trust in your feelings. Don't let your feelings shape your faith. Let the Word of God and the Word of the Holy Spirit speaking truth to you shape what you believe, so that in the brokenness you're able to stand. And you see clearly that the lies are not the truth. That what's kind of dark and murky is not true. So that you'll know what is true, so that as you stand in the dark, that you'll know what you... Listen, you heard me say this before. Learn this word. Know what it says. Hold tightly to it. Embrace it. So that what you learn in the light, and you know is true in the light, there are easy times that you won't doubt it in the dark. Don't doubt in the dark what you knew to be true in the light. You're going to have to be patient in the dark times. But Sunday's a-coming. So you got to hold on. Because he said, I have not left you. He understands firsthand. And he wants you to flourish in patience, so that the world sees his character in you. How you handle patience is a testimony to the character of Christ in you. And so my prayer for us is simply, may the Lord help us to become more like Jesus, who gets being patient, so that our lives are a witness to the patient, saving, and transforming power of God in us. Amen. Amen. Come and lead us in our closing song this morning. This was a heavy message. I've had fun preparing for this week. Not really. Please sense there's some sarcasm in that. Because sometimes you teach it, and man, it just hits you heavy, because it's just true. And you wrestle with this stuff. But just because it's hard doesn't mean we get to turn away from it. That means we have to look at it and look into it and say, God, help me in the hardness, that I may bear fruit and more people see you in me. Amen.